Got to tell you, it's a little weird talking to you guys and like there's nobody here. So it is a strange thing, but we're gonna work through it. This too will pass. How you doing? How's your spirits? How's your attitude? How's your optimism level? How's your hope level? Hope it's good. Pray it's good. Don't let this get you down, man. This is going to come and go. Remember what Scripture says. It never says it came to stay. It always says it came to pass. It comes to pass. It will pass. This will move on and things will get back to normal. But I want to ask you a question today, and be honest with yourself. Have you ever been disappointed? I mean, come on. Have you ever really been disappointed? Now, there's levels of disappointment, right? I mean, there's sort of the disappointment like, you know, your team loses. You're sort of disappointed. There's disappointment. Maybe, you know, you had a lot of plans for, you know, this spring, and they're sort of getting crushed right now and crushed. And so you're a little disappointed there. But have you ever been just really, truly heartbroken and disappointed? You ever have somebody walk out on you? Big disappointment. You ever have somebody really betray you? Boy, that's real disappointment. Have you ever, you know, been working and you've worked hard at your job and, man, you've been there and you've struggled and you've struggled and struggled. You've been a faithful employee. You've done a great job. You've been out there working, and you're passed over for the promotion. Boy, that's a heartbreak. That is incredibly disappointed. Maybe you've gone to the doctor and you've gotten a diagnosis and it wasn't what you wanted. And, man, you've been just so disappointed. Maybe it's your kids. Maybe your kids, you've raised them well. You raised them to love the Lord. You raised them to be in church. You raised them to be a part of a fellowship. But they've grown up and they've moved on and they've moved on. And boy, it is just disappointing. It's just heartbreaking. So let me change it now and ask you this. Have you ever been disappointed with God? I mean, really disappointed with God. A lot of people have left their faith because they've been disappointed with God. Have you ever really prayed for something and really prayed for something and really prayed for something and it's like the heavens just didn't hear you or you got a clear no. And man, you've just been disappointed with the Lord. Now, sometimes we get disappointed with God because we have expectations that God never signed up for. I mean, you know, we talk about that, you know, God doesn't owe you, you know, the Powerball numbers. He doesn't owe you a new car. He doesn't owe you perfect health. Nowhere in the Bible, he doesn't owe you that. He just doesn't owe it to you. And sometimes, so when we get that and we struggle, we get disappointed with the Lord. And sometimes people even walk away from the church and walk away from their faith because they've been disappointed. They have just been disappointed. There were some people 2,000 years ago that had some very clear expectations of what their Messiah and their deliverer would look like. And when Jesus showed up and Jesus' mission became clear, they were disappointed. This is Palm Sunday. This is the Sunday where we set aside in the church calendar to remember Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. The fact that he went into Jerusalem and it begins what we call in the Christian church Holy Week. I want to read you where that's found in the book of Matthew. If you have your Bibles or got your devices there at your house, Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11. It says this, Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage and the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, Now go into a village in the front and in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied, it was a young colt, with her, untie her, and then bring her to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say to them, the Lord had needs of it, and they will send you at once. Now this took place to fulfill what was spoken of by the prophet, saying, Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, a colt, the foal, a beast of burden. Disciples went in and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put him on it, and then their cloaks and sat him on it. Most of the crowd then spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches, palm branches. That's where we get Palm Sunday. They were waving palm branches. We'll talk about what that means in just a minute. from the trees and spread them on the road, and the crowds that went before him, that followed him, were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We just sang that. And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, Who is this? And the crowd said, This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. All right, so here's what's gone on. Jesus has been in ministry for 3 years. He has done amazing things that had developed his reputation all over the place. He had healed the sick. Not far from here where they passed through is where he had caused a blind man to see. He had opened deaf ears. The lame could walk. Lepers were cleansed. I mean, his renown was spreading all through the land. But he had just done something prior to this that was amazing. He had caused Lazarus to resurrect from the tomb. He had caused Lazarus to resurrect. He called him out of the grave. And that was known throughout Jerusalem. And man, I'm telling you, people were going nuts. Because for the first time, the Israelites believed they had their guy to lead them against Rome. Now, there were some things that were going on as he entered Jerusalem that indicate to you they were not looking for a spiritual leader. They were clearly looking for a political leader. First thing I want you to notice is Jesus sent a very clear message, however, that his ministry is about spiritual realities, not about earthly realities, when he came in on a donkey. Because if you're a conquering general, if you're someone who's going to lead a great army, you ride a horse. That's what you ride. You don't ride a little donkey. And so it was very clear that he was sending a message coming in. I am not the general you're looking for. I'm coming humbly. I'm coming lowly. I'm coming for a spiritual mission, something far more important than anything you've imagined. So Jesus gets ready to go in, and you see what people are doing. One, they're throwing their cloaks down in front of him. Now, what is that? That's an example of respect. It's giving him sort of the royal treatment. When somebody is royal and someone is treated in the highest regard, you don't want their feet to get dirty. And so you would throw your cloak down in front of them. And that's what they were doing to the donkey as the donkey passed. They were honoring Jesus, saying, oh, this guy's going to deliver us. Man, we're throwing our cloaks down. So that was one thing they were doing. And you do that, and they typically did that to generals, to generals who won great battles, who won great wars. And that was a sign of respect. So they were throwing their cloaks down, really as an indication that Jesus was coming to deliver him. Now, the second thing you notice, some had cut palm branches and they were waving them. Now, you know, Ryan referenced, you know, we do this in churches when, you know, I can remember years ago, you would have pageants around Easter time and all the kids would come in shouting Hosanna and waving palm branches and all that. It was pretty cool. I remember some of our kids did that when they were real little. And it's a neat thing. But what it meant, It was a sign of Jewish nationalism, those palm branches. Here's why. If you went back and looked at Jewish coinage, see, when you're a country, there's a couple things you got to have. One, you got to have borders. You got to know if you're going to be a country, you got to have borders. You got to have some organizing documents, right? But you really know your country when you have your own money, when you have your own currency, when you develop your own economy. That's when you know your country's arrived. And so if you went back and looked at Jewish coinage, you would see on one side of it, palm branches. And it was a symbol of their statehood. So when they were throwing these palm branches around, it wasn't spiritual. It was saying, we remember the time when we had our own money and we were our own country and you've come to bring it to us again. Hosanna, that is awesome. Now, they were shouting, Hosanna. Now, that means it could be interpreted a couple different ways. Save us is sort of a basic way that you can interpret that, or deliver us is another equally as good way you can translate Hosanna. Deliver us. Deliver us from what? Well, from Rome. Everything about Jesus' triumphal entry to the mind of the Jews of that day was about them being liberated from Rome. They had prayed for it. They had sought for it. Man, they had run after it. Everything with Jesus coming in was about, we're going to get rid of the Romans. Jesus is the guy who can get rid of the Romans. Now, why were they thinking that? Well, let's think about it. He resurrected a guy from the dead, called Lazarus out of the tomb. Now, if you're going to war and you got a guy on your team who can call people back from the dead, I'm voting you win. I mean, that's pretty good, right? I mean, you've got this guy on your team. You're gonna win. And so they were convinced that Jesus was coming to liberate them. And they were shouting and they were screaming. They were paying homage and respect. But things would change. Let me walk you through the things that happened over the next few days. On Monday, Jesus would go in and cleanse the temple. He would run the money changers out and declare without a doubt that his house would be a house of prayer. And he didn't honor the tradition that was there. He didn't honor the culture that was there. He said there's going to be something more important than this. And so on Monday, he cleansed the temple. Now Tuesday, a couple of things happen. One, he goes to the Mount of Olives and he begins to teach. And he teaches about faith. He teaches about discipline. He teaches about hard times coming. Because he knows what's coming down the road. He knows what's about to happen. Now, something else was going on Tuesday. That was the day that we believe Judas went to the Sanhedrin and made his bargain. That's where he went and bargained for 30 pieces of silver, not gold, to fulfill a prophecy. And that's when Judas began his negotiations. Now, I want you to think about it. Jesus is getting ready to die for the sins of the world. And his friend, Judas, is betraying him. Have you ever been disappointed with God, but have you ever been betrayed by a friend? Jesus was betrayed by a friend. That started on Tuesday. Wednesday, we think, we're not told a lot about what's going on Wednesday, on that particular Wednesday of Holy Week. We think that they rested. They were in Bethany, the home of Lazarus. That's where Mary and Martha were. And Jesus was there, we believe, and probably rested. He had two pretty event-filled days, and so we think he rested. Now, on Thursday, as you know, that's when the Lord met to celebrate Passover with his disciples, his apostles, and he instituted the Lord's Supper. It was there that he instituted communion. Significant time. It's called Maundy Thursday, right? It's a new commandment was given by Jesus that until he comes again, we're to celebrate communion together. We're not able to do that today. It's the first Sunday of the month. And here at Grace, for those of you who are watching, you may not know this, but every first Sunday of the month, we've had communion. We just have. And that's what we do here. That's a value of ours. We're going to be praying that we'll get to be together next month, the first Sunday of next month, and we will enjoy having communion together again. But he instituted communion. It was also on that Thursday that they would go to the garden. Remember this? They would go to the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus would separate himself and ask Peter, James, and John to pray, wait, you know, watch and pray. And they fell asleep. Jesus would come back, tell them to wake up, watch and pray, and he would go off and pray, and they'd fall asleep again. And then Jesus makes, every statement he made was profound, but he said something that really, I think, just cuts to the core of our human experience when he said this: the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I don't know about you, but there are times that my spirit is really willing and wanting to serve the Lord, but the flesh gets in the way. And that's what was happening in the Garden of Gethsemane. Right after that event, a Roman guard would show up, led by Judas. Judas would come up to Jesus and call him teacher, kiss him on the cheek, and he was arrested. That kiss on the cheek was to identify who Jesus was so the guards could arrest him. That's not what kiss is for. A kiss isn't for betrayal. A kiss isn't used to turn your back on someone. But that's what Judas did. And he did it on that Thursday night. So Jesus was taken captive that Thursday night. And at night, his trial began. Now, if you go back and look at it, his trial violated, I read this some years ago, something like 20, 25 different laws were violated that should have caused Jesus to be released, but he wasn't. And it started at that night. He was passed from one person to another, to another, to another, to another. Then finally, if you remember, he's brought out in front of the crowd. The crowd that was yelling Hosanna, the crowd that was throwing their cloaks down, the crowd that was bringing palm branches. Listen, because Jesus didn't do what they wanted him to do, they turned on him. They turned on him. And it was that crowd that were shouting Hosannas are now saying crucify him. Give us Barabbas. Remember, he's brought out, and it's like, okay, Pilate's like, oh, who do you want? Do you want Barabbas or do you want Jesus? And they're like, give us Barabbas. What should I do with Jesus? And they began yelling and screaming, crucify him. Get rid of him. Let me ask you something on this Palm Sunday. Have you walked away from Jesus because you're disappointed with him? Because he didn't do what you felt like he should do? Maybe someone died that you felt like he should heal. Maybe a marriage ended and you felt like God should have just come down and fixed it, and he didn't. And so you find yourself this Palm Sunday a long way from the Lord. You would have been part of the crowd, maybe, that said, do away with him. He's no good to us anymore. So at that moment, when they released Barabbas and they convicted Jesus, began his suffering. It was after this, he would be flogged. 39, not 40 lashes. That was their way of being merciful, right? So he was flogged. He was beaten. A crown of thorn placed on his head. The crossbeam from the cross was laid on his shoulders, and he was made to walk through town. Now, the reason for that is if someone could show just cause why that person, whoever it was wrongly convicted, they could challenge the conviction. They could challenge the sentencing. Now think about it. Jesus had been in ministry for 3 years at this point. He had healed a lot of people. He had fed thousands of people. He had done miraculous things. You would think somewhere someone would have stepped up and said, oh, let me tell you about Jesus. He didn't do anything wrong. I was blind, but now I see. Nobody. You would think Jesus, somebody, maybe the lame man there at the pool of Bethesda. They say, I sat by that pool for decades and decades and decades. Jesus shows up. I can walk. I am free from being shackled to the ground because of these limbs that wouldn't work. Let me tell you what Jesus did. He wasn't there. He wasn't there. Maybe someone who he had driven the demons out of. Wow. I think if I was demon-possessed and somebody helped that exit, I'd be on his team, right? I would want to be on his team. Was it there? So as Jesus walked through Jerusalem with a crossbeam across his back, no one came to his defense. What started on Palm Sunday with shouts of hosannas, with palm branches, with throwing their coats and cloaks down so even the donkey wouldn't get dirty, with incredible acts of respect, now no one cared. No one cared. So Jesus walked through. The Bible says he was taken to a place called Golgotha, the place of the skull. And there he was nailed to the cross, and the cross was put in the ground. And he was between two other men being crucified. Now, we used to sing a song years ago. Some of you remember it. He could have called 10,000 angels. You remember that old song? Could have called 10,000 angels. I'm telling you, I would have done it. If it would have been me, I'd have called 10,000 angels with machine guns, and I would have cut them to pieces. I'm telling you, that's what I would have done. But Jesus had something else on his mind. Was it vengeance? As a matter of fact, while the King of Glory hung on the cross, it's amazing what he did. One, he cared enough to minister to one of the people dying next to him. Remember the thief on the cross? What are you doing up here, basically? He says, you've not done anything wrong. I deserve being up here, not you. Jesus talks and says, today you will be with me in paradise. This is just a momentary thing. It's going to go away soon. And you will be with me forever. When he's hanging there, he cried to the Father, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He wasn't cursing them. Wasn't screaming at them. He wasn't condemning them. He was loving them. On Palm Sunday, they shouted Hosanna. They screamed at the top of their lungs, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they were ready for their deliverer. Hosanna, deliver us, deliver us. But it wasn't what Jesus was there to do. Political stuff. So they were disappointed. And in their disappointment, they screamed, "Crucify him. Get rid of him. We don't need him anymore." So on Good Friday, Jesus died for us. What started out with celebration on Palm Sunday, just a few days later, he would die for us. I want you to think about this for a minute. Jesus gave to the Jewish people in the world the thing they needed most, but never asked for it. So knowing that, aren't you thankful? Just think back. Aren't you thankful that God has said no to some of your prayers? God said wait to some of your prayers? Aren't you thankful that God's given you what you've needed and not everything you've wanted? 2,000 years ago, Jesus came into town, and everybody had expectations for him. But he had a mission to do for us what we could never do for ourselves, and that is take care of the sin problem that separates us and God. No matter how hard you try, no matter how good you are, and you're probably way better than me. I mean, don't get uppity. It's not a big standard, right? So you're probably way better than me. But understand, it doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't, all the things you've never done, doesn't matter. You cannot impress God enough that it takes care of the sin problem. The problem that we have that separates us and God. Now don't get me wrong. You're probably not a bad person. You're probably a great neighbor, a great friend. That's a wonderful thing. I mean, I hope you are. I bet you are. But there's still a sin problem that separates us and God. And Jesus came to fix that problem. There's a cool word in the Bible, and some of the newer translations leave it out. It's called propitiation. Cool word. Don't ask me to spell it. But it's a great word, and basically it means to satisfy the wrath of God. Because God judged sin, and we were all found guilty, and that had to be taken care of. And Jesus took care of that on the cross, so we don't have to try. So today, on Palm Sunday, here's the offer the Lord makes you. He makes you this offer very clearly. I came, I was born of a virgin, I lived a perfect sinless life, and I died on the cross for you. I died for you. If you will place your faith and trust in me alone for salvation, if you will believe that I resurrected from the grave, we're going to talk about that next week, Easter Sunday, going to talk about the resurrection, right? If you believe that I resurrected from the grave, and you turn from your sins, declare me Lord, then I will be your God, I will be your king, and you will be my child. That's the offer he makes you on this Palm Sunday. Jesus came in, lot of celebration, because people's expectations were that Jesus is going to take care of this earthly problem. At the end of the day, on Friday, he took care of the problem, the real problem, the separation that we had between us and God. Listen, the Lord loves you. He wants to change your life. He wants to save you today. And so, wherever you're sitting, whatever's going on around you, just sort of block it out and pray with me right now. Pray with me right now. Just pray, Lord, it's me. Thank you for giving me the chance to pray. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe on the third day you bodily resurrected from the grave. And right now I place my faith and trust in you alone, Jesus, for salvation. I turn from my sin and I declare you Lord of my life. Thank you for changing me. Thank you for saving me. And it's in your name I pray, Jesus. And I thank you. Amen. 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 The Bible says if you prayed that prayer and meant it, that you just got born again. You came into a relationship with the Lord. You need to connect with the fellowship. When all of this stuff is over, you need to find a fellowship and connect. You must connect with other believers. That's going to help you grow in your faith. You need to get a Bible. You can download an app. They're free. You could do that right now on your smartphone. You need to have a Bible. You need to read that Bible every day. How much do I need to read? Till God speaks to you. If that's a verse, if that's three verses, read till the Lord speaks to your heart. And so you need to be in the Word every day. You need to find a fellowship. You can reach out to me. I'd love to hear from you. My phone number is 386-546-2947. 386-546-2947. I would love to hear from you. I would love to pray with you. Make sure you got a Bible. If you don't have a smartphone, we'll give you a Bible. We've got Bibles. We'd be glad to give you one. So your new life will get off on the right foot. Man, we want to help you with that for sure. Amen. I'm so glad that you guys have joined us today via Facebook. Thank you for being with us. Next Sunday, we will be here. Next Sunday, we will be here. We'll be live broadcasting at 10:30. Just so you know, WIYD and WPLK are going to broadcast our Easter Sunday service live on the radio. So you can turn on the radio and listen, or if you're going somewhere, just tune in WIYD or PLK, and it's going to be on the radio. So we're very thankful for Skeet Alford, who's been so generous to come and going to do that. And so we're able to reach some more people. So please pass that word along, if you will. Pass the word along Facebook that we will be here Easter Sunday, and we will be broadcasting, and we want to get the word out there. Absolutely. I'm in the office every day. If you need me every day, I am in the office every day. And so that's Saturday, that's Sunday, that's every day. So we want to know that we're present with you. If you need us, call us, come by. You can drop by. I'll pray with you. I'll fix you a cup of coffee. We'll stay 6 feet apart. We'll be glad to do that for sure. Don't forget our Facebook Live devotionals, the Corona Chronicles. They're every morning. We're always before noon, but usually sometime between 8:30 and 10:30-ish. Sort of that's generally the range that we broadcast, sometime in that range. So be looking for that for sure. If you have students, please remind them that Ryan is doing stuff online as well. He met with students online today during the Sunday school hour. So please don't forget that. He's got some other stuff that will be coming. And Ryan, you're posting that on the Grace site, correct? Right. So you could go to our Facebook page. You could see it there. So please do that. Also want to remind you to give if you're part of Grace. Please don't forget to give. Generosity is one of our values. You can do that by going to gracepalaka.org. That's our website. And it's real easy. Up at the top, there's a drop down. Super simple to do that. If you have any questions, you can reach out to me, and I can usually walk you through that. So I want to encourage you to continue to give. Thank you for doing that. That helps us keep our lights on, power bill paid, and pay our staff and our ministry partners, our missionaries that we support. So thank you. Thank you for doing that so much. Okay? Well, hey, God bless you. We will see you in the morning, somewhere around 8:30 to 10, Facebook Live. Make sure you're there, and we'll have some time of devotion together and encouragement, to be sure. God bless you. We'll see you in the morning. I see the King.